Well, thanks. We'll go on lastly to Hang On, I'll Just Speak to the World, the documentary about the BBC's external services now celebrating their 50th anniversary. A service that speaks to 100 million listeners at a cost of only £70 million and has, and always has had, a worldwide reputation for objectivity and fairness. The film showed a day in the multicultural life of Bush House in the Aldwood, with its cacophony of voices reaching out to China, India, Kenya, Israel, France, Japan, even to Somalia, whose service last year was threatened with cuts.
I'm head of the BBC's Somali service. It was a shock to us, as well as to our listeners, when last year the British government had in mind to cut our service along the road. It would have destroyed very valuable links between the BBC and an important part of the Horn of Africa. This is radio country. Everyone in Somalia, if he can afford it, will have a radio. At 5:30, everything stops, and people listen to the BBC Somali service.
Maria Kito, you've listened to the World Service, I understand, for most of your life. What did you think about that picture of Bush House?
Well, I think it celebrates the activities of the external services rather well, with Bush House as a kind of microcosm of the world at one end, and this enormous, transistor radio culture which exists in large areas of the world, which require these services and which makes for the services worthwhile for Bush House to carry on. I think that it also showed the enormous cultural influence of the World Service. Perhaps it's not very well known that despite the fact of empire, there is a residual affection for the English language, for English literature, for cultural connections. And the World Service, which feature programs as different from the World News, which is much known, but the feature programs perpetuates these connections. And I think that is very important. And people from other countries wanted to, we saw China and everybody wanting to learn the English language. Well, in India, we already have the English language, but we want to carry on the link, the cultural link. The other point I think that came across was the professionalism with which the World News is monitored. But as far as the Third World News is concerned, although I know that the BBC has a formidable reputation for being the official spokesman for no one at all, the projection of Third World News, I think there is occasionally a problem of perception. Jim Laurie, who is in charge of the news, made that point. He said one man's freedom fighter is another man's guerrilla, and there you have the problem of perception. And perhaps it's occasionally difficult for the BBC correspondent to resist the urge to overblow or magnify reports about floods and famines and hunger and poverty, which
we've given you in India as a result of all this, perhaps too much of English culture. I'm always staggered whenever I go to India, and people come up to me and say things like, "What is your candid opinion on this evening war, Mr. Kingsley Amy?" And I'm always rather at a loss to know, in what context they mean it. But
well,
you've given you a great dose of that, haven't you?
You have given us a great dose of it, and perhaps as many people here say, the true Englishman now survives in India. But I'm not sure whether that is the kind of cultural connection that we want perpetuated, because I think what the BBC does bring into its World Service is the voice of the new, the voice of the world. It's not always British.
Yeah.
It is science and technology and music and sports and so forth around the world, you see.
Margaret, what did you think?
Well, I think it's probably quite important to separate out some notion of British culture from the news information. I would have thought the latter was important, though I still don't understand, since the think tank report, whenever that was, a few years ago, why we're still broadcasting in the vernacular to France and Spain and Italy, Germany. That seems to me quite bizarre. And the other thing that wasn't mentioned at all, except one could pick it up from the program, was the awful technical problems. I mean, I was thinking of the great proposal to put in a lot more capital to actually improve the technical efficiency of transmission. And one had these marvellous shots towards the end of old-style colonial chaps sitting in their bungalows, desperately trying to listen to my music or Kenneth Williams or whatever. I don't like that side of it, I might say, but I'm just saying these information is fine. But let's not also, on that, pretend that somehow or other the British World Service has some currency on truth with a capital T, because of course that's an
interesting. Yeah, I think it's a sort of program the BBC does really very well indeed, patting itself into the family on the back. I think they've done a wonderful job over the years, in great difficulty, and the program shows that. I think the fact that the government has cut a lot of their money is absolutely scandalous. I think if it's doubled their money, it would be a great deal for our culture and for the culture of other people in the world. They do see this country as important culturally. It may not be important economically anymore, or politically anymore, or even socially, but culturally, people do think we are very important still. And I really think it's scandalous.
Well, I'm not sure what kind of culture they're putting over. I mean, that's what I expect.
Well, yes, I
it seems to me a little quaint, a little cosy. You know, we actually had the old radio museum that I can't remember having heard over here for a long time. I find it all too quaint.
You're down to come in to say
yes,
something.
Yes, I'm down to come in to say, to say something, because I don't think that it is the old colonial in a bungalow that's listening to the World Service. I do think, and I know this from research as someone who has been teaching in India, that in small towns, for instance, where libraries are not always as good as is necessary, they find the political commentary of the World Service very, very good. They like the analytical presentation of world events. And then as someone who has been teaching English literature in Delhi until a couple of years ago, I do think that the feature program gave us, plays and things like that, the spoken voice. I think living in London, you don't quite realize what it means when you are teaching English literature, or you're talking about world events, or you're talking about new cultural trends.
Do you think the some of the program was a little bit, the program we saw, a little bit fragmented, they're darting here and there all over the place. Did you find that a little confusing, or was that...
I thought they were trying to get a quarter of a pint pot, really. I wouldn't mind seeing 50 programs were like this, and then one of the programs addressing just what we've been talking about. Is it all a little too cozy? Is it all a little too culturally predictable?
Yes. And more analytical. I mean, that's what it lacks. I mean, maybe it wasn't trying to do that, but it was a bit too much.
Derek Malcolm, Margaret Maiden, Maria Kuta, thank you all very much.